What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It's analytics versus manalytics in these days of sports, and they are pouring out all over your television set from San Francisco, where the Golden State Warriors have a 2-0 lead on the Dallas Mavericks. That, Tiger Woods, the Lakers and their coaching search, all of it is on the table, front and center, as we hop in to a Fox Sports Saturday alongside the great Ryan Hollins. I'm Mark Willard. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it so much. My man Ryan, here we get to go. Let's do this thing again.
What's up, brother?
You know, just hanging and excited to talk to you we've gotten a little roll. You came on my show in the Bay Area this week, very fascinated in your Dallas Mavericks take. And you know, I say this, I don't want this to sound like I'm poking the bear at all. You last week sat here on this show and said the Mavericks were going to go win Game 7 against the Phoenix Suns. And I thought to myself, okay, come on, Ryan. Like, I mean, you know, Game 7 at home. I mean, maybe Game 7, you kind of throw all the stuff, you know, out the back window. But the idea that the Mavericks would cruise to a win like they did, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what happened to the Phoenix Suns in that game. However, you also, I know, you've been high on the Mavericks the whole time, and I know the line, hey, they lost the first two in Phoenix and they won that series. This is not a scenario that usually works out, so they're off to a really rough start against Golden State, including blowing a 19-point lead last night. So I'm very curious to know what you think about their standing now.
I think it's obviously dangerous territory, but the way that they put a whooping on Golden State in the first half, you see how good the Mavericks team is. And Golden State is still a team of runs. They're not quite the team of runs that they were in the past. I think it's a little more of a defensive-oriented team. Obviously, the Golden State has to lean on more than just their offense. But I'm telling you, I still like the Mavericks. I do. And what it came down to, what I really see is that role players play better at home. And there's a couple key shots that were missed that the role players didn't hit that would have taken that lead from 20 to 30 points. I thought Jason Kidd could have called a timeout. Golden State was going on a run, I think like a 9-0, 10-0 run in the first half where things got really tight and Jason Kidd really missed the ball on calling a timeout. And the one thing you're going to have to do when Jason goes back and watch that film, I know from playing against the Warriors, is that they're going to have their runs. Those runs are going to come. And from watching them and covering them this year, those runs are going to come. And you got to use those timeouts. You got to kill momentum. It's a very momentum-based team. And the one thing, Mark, you know from covering them and watching the Warriors is they kind of almost try to create their own momentum. You know, the little incident, you know, Draymond Green, you know, bumping up into Reggie Bullock and, you know, what was it? Who was it that got flipped over? He tried to Tyronn Lue and Allen Iverson.
Damian Lee.
Damian Lee tried to hit him with the Allen Iverson move and got flipped over his shoulder. So the Warriors still kind of have – they're kind of edgy, Mark, right? And they try to create their momentum. So you know those runs are coming.
They're coming. By the way, I was with Reggie Miller on that one and just about every other former NBAer who I listened to talk about this. That is a nouveau double technical. I don't know how many years we have to go back, 5, 7, 10, 15, but that's just two guys that bumped into each other and fell over. Do we need to turn this into an international incident? Do we need double technicals, which amounts to a whole lot of nothing anyway? You know, Reggie was basically alleging when Stan Van Gundy said, I'm going to tell you this is going to be a double technical, Reggie immediately was like, well, then the NBA is soft. And wouldn't you know it, here come the refs with, that's a double technical. What was your reaction?
I kind of saw it coming. I don't think it was the right call, but with the one thing – it's not about whose fault it is. You want to defuse a game like that, and you don't want things to escalate. And as you know, and I know from playing in the playoffs, they can escalate really quick. So I thought double technical was actually the right call. But when someone stands over you and you're trying to get back on defense, I don't know what he did wrong. He hit a three. He was allowed no space to land, which should have been an and-one three. Missed call there. He hits the shot, and Damian Lee stands over him. That's Mark. That's one of the most I don't care if you're playing ball, you're playing football, you're in the office. Don't stand over me, bro. And he was just trying to get back on defense. That wasn't a technical. I don't think in Dallas's way that should have been a technical in any way, shape, or form. Mark, am I wrong? Like, don't stand over me, dude.
Well, no, don't stand over me. But then again, you know how the optics of it are. If you're standing over somebody and then you stand up aggressively and flip them on their back, especially in their home arena, everybody's going to get all a certain sort of way about it. So I'm with you. This was this was two bit players in a major series that sort of for a moment became center stage. Not lost on me, Ryan, that after Damian Lee came out after that experience, he did not go back into the game. And let me tell you, he's not going back into any more of these games. Like, Damian Lee was probably mostly in the wrong on that play. He also was really, really poor with his 5 minutes on the floor. He was 0-for-2 with a turnover, minus 12 on the plus minus in a game that the Warriors ended up winning by 9. Moses Moody, a rookie, ends up coming in and getting fourth quarter minutes in his spot, played really well. I don't think the Mavericks are going to have to worry about Damian Lee anymore in this series because I don't think he's coming off the bench.
I mean, I don't want to go that far, but yeah, I can assume from the Golden State side, they're like, "That dude, that's a silly play. You know, what are you doing? You know, and it's funny. It was really funny. I had a Damian Lee moment. We were playing Philadelphia, seriously, and I had wrapped up with one of the players in Philly in the backcourt, and, you know, he had his elbows up. I'm next to his elbow, and I'm like, I'm not moving. He didn't want to put his elbow down. Turner. What's his – Evan Turner.
Evan Turner. I was going to say, don't even try to tell me you don't remember who it was because I know you do.
Yeah, it was Evan Turner. And he didn't want to put his elbows down. And it was one of those moments where the referees came over and were like, you know, what's going on? And what's funny is Doc tells me, damn it, son, what are you doing? You're not Kevin. You're not Kevin. You're not Kevin Garnett. What are you doing? You're not Kevin. And
I'm like, all right, Doc, whatever. But my point is that, you know, the probably message is, hey, Draymond can do that mess because he's Draymond, okay? And Draymond was toying with another technical to get kicked out.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
Damian Lee, you can't do that, bro. You know, right? I'm more you, Damian Lee, you know, and that may have been the thing. I don't know what the message was in the huddle, but, you know, I got chewed out because it's like, you know, we're not going to lose the series because you're trying to be Kevin Garnett, right? So,
hey, man, it's a famous line in WWE circles, know your role and shut your mouth. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying. However, I want to go back to the role players because you just said something 5 minutes ago and I'm going to challenge you on this one. The role players are going to play better at home. Are you not looking at the box score, Ryan? Did you not see what the role players for the Mavericks did last night? They're supposed to play better than this. Jalen Brunson scored 31 points, went 5 of 7 from 3. Reggie Bullock, 21 points, went 6 of 10 from 3. Dorian Finney-Smith, 10 points, 3 of 6 from 3. They're all 50% or north in from 3-point range, which is the Mavericks game, and Luka was too, 5 of 10 from 3 for 42 points. They got all that and lost by 9 anyway. I get that things will be different at home. I'm not expecting a sweep. But what are we really asking for out of the role players? Other than that, the role players were fantastic and it still wasn't good enough.
Well, who I'm talking about is Maxi Kleber. How many times was he wide open from 3? Davis Bertans ain't get the bag because of his defense. Okay. Nilakina had a wide open 3. There's certain guys that are leaving wide open. Okay. Nilakina from 3, 0 for 2. Dinwiddie 0 for 2 from 3. Bertans goes 1 for 2. We know the and one we got flipped over. And Kleber 1 for 5. His 1 for 5 are wide open 1 for 5. You know what I'm saying? So those are shots they're going to hit at home. And those were the shots that were going to take that lead from 20 to 30, and they missed a golden opportunity playing Golden State.
They did, but they still, as a team, shot 46.7% from 3-point range. I just think what we're talking about here is analytic busting. And that's who Kevon Looney is. And he scored 21 points, over 20 points for the first time in his NBA career in a playoff game. Jason Kidd, Ryan, has essentially turned the Mavericks into a team that, like many baseball teams around our country, are going, okay, let's look at this from a data standpoint. Let's look at this on our spreadsheet. Because who do the Mavericks really have outside of Luka? I mean, we mentioned some players there. There's some guys. Brunson's a player, okay? Dinwiddie's a player. But you know what I'm talking about. If you put that up against any of the other rosters that are still alive and a bunch of the rosters that aren't still alive, this is not a star-studded lineup. But their game that they play is, we are going to shoot more threes than you. We're going to get all of our 3-and-D guys, so we'll play good defense. And we will shoot more threes than you, and we will make more threes than you. And if you're not a math major, 3 is more than 2, and we're going to beat you. And this analytic has been busted. They've shot more threes in both games. They've made more threes in both games. They have done exactly what they came out and planned to do. And the Golden State Warriors have layupped and dunked their 3-pointers to death. And they're 2-0. And I'm not here for this is what the Mavericks do. They're going to, you know, lose the first 2 games and then win 4 out of 5 and game 7 on the road. And that's just their process. Like, that happened once. Ryan, it's not happening again. I'm sorry. This series is cooked.
Nah, I can't give it as cooked. I mean, listen, Mark, if I asked you in the first half, you would have had a different tune. And I will give the Warriors credit. They understand. They just need one. They just need one. But the Mavericks have been here before. I'm telling you, I just really believe there's a series here at hand. We saw the inconsistency of the Warriors. And, Mark, you know it. They're not bouncing back. They would not bounce back if that was a game on the road. You know? They wouldn't. So, I disagree. I don't think the series is cooked. I think the Mavericks have been in this spot before. I think it's definitely dangerous territory. You know, you don't want that. But until you see a team win a game on the opposing team's floor, you can't say who's cooked and who's not cooked. Now, granted, you do have Game 6 Clay over there. You do got a champion Steph Curry. Those guys have been shown to take over series or win those games. That's why they are who they are. But I'm telling you, there's something different about Dallas. I don't agree that the series is just cooked. I don't. And I think that if you saw enough in the first half, you got some takeaways that show you that it can't be. I mean, think about Boston in the Heat, Mark. I try to tell you about that one, too. I said I knew Boston had a lot that they liked that they saw. And when you go back and watch film as a player, the Mavericks are going to see that film in the first half and go, man, we're the better team, guys. We just got to go out and execute.
I mean, how am I going to look at three quarters of basketball and decide that one of them is the one that matters? The Mavericks have been woefully outplayed all four quarters in game one and two out of four quarters last night. Why should we buy in to the second quarter last night and decide that's what's real? And by the way, Boston, Miami, I have to call you out on that. You said Boston wasn't even going to be in this series last weekend.
No, I didn't. You got
yes,
some,
you did. Hey, you picked me. Milwaukee. You picked Milwaukee in game seven. I picked Boston. Don't make me go to the tape.
Yeah,
you picked Milwaukee in game seven.
No. I did pick Milwaukee. In that term, yes.
Yeah.
No. You're right. In that term, yes. I you know what? I was hoping that Giannis had a chance to take that next step. Now, he's certified. He got a championship, but you know, he couldn't take that next step. I thought that it would have been huge for his resume, which is still getting built. He's got historical numbers. I thought that he should have won that game. I thought for the player and the platform that he gets put on, the names he gets mentioned with, I thought it was a huge opportunity that he was going to take advantage of, or maybe I was optimistic to it. So, it didn't happen. You are right, Mark. You are absolutely right. I did say Milwaukee. I did not go Boston.
I'm glad you brought up Giannis, because there's another conversation we need to have, and I'll just preview it this way. Remind me, how tall are you, Ryan, exactly?
Seven.
You're seven straight up?
Yep.
Gosh, you're a perfect guy to – whew, man, I know. What's the weather like up there, brother?
Sunny, about 75, sunny, man. Sunny 75 warm. And sunny. Yeah. It's light good. Humidity.
So you're a perfect guy to ask the question I'm about to ask, and we'll do it next on Fox Sports Radio.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Okay, it's Fox Sports Saturday. That's Ryan Hollins. I'm Mark Willard. As mentioned just a few minutes ago, I am all the way down here at 6'2". All the way down here. But my man over here, 7 feet straight up, which means it's a perfect time and you're the perfect guy to ask you this question. It's not necessarily a very new conversation. However, it's one that needs to regenerate itself, I feel like, every couple of years. It's been a rough playoffs for the big guy. The MVP debate all year long in the NBA was Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, and maybe a little Giannis. And you were just talking about thinking that that Game 6 / Game 7 opportunity for the Milwaukee Bucks last week was really going to be Giannis's moment to solidify what he did last year, take it into something else to where he could really be that guy in the NBA. And I know that he and in fact, Embiid and Jokic, they're not throwback big men. All three of them can knock down a three here and there as well. But we got to ask it, because I can tell you this, living here in Golden State Warriorsville, Ryan, this market is very excited about the fact that there are no real 7-foot big-time players waiting at the rim for all these little guards that are flying at the rim, because that's exactly what's given them trouble. Jaren Jackson and Steven Adams, you saw what happened when they became a bigger focus in the Memphis series. It got harder for the Warriors. What do Embiid and Giannis and Jokic all have in common? They're watching, and they're going to watch this competition to be that dude, as you say, in 2022 between Steph and Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler and Luka Doncic. What's your thought right now on the state of the big man in the NBA?
I think the big man is coming back, but I think the difference is the big man is now skilled. So NBA is a game of skill and versatility. And for a big to play, that's what they have to have. So the little guys know that, all right, like once the tall guys are doing everything we're doing, you know, they're going to catch up. They're going to have the advantage. And I think you are seeing that. So, you know, Giannis is home. They didn't have depth. Like Middleton was such a big part of that team.
Fair.
I think we got to look at Boston. Boston's for real. They're deep. They've committed defensively, and they got a guy who can be a superstar in Jason Tatum once he gets rolling. You know, they got a headache in him, but their strength in numbers has really just been a problem. Milwaukee just wasn't deep enough. You know, Giannis had his 40 and 20. You got to credit him, but, you know, he couldn't really, I don't want to say do it by himself, but he had some holes. At some point, he ran out of gas. And I think to answer your question, the big man will come back. It's just like if you don't have that DeAndre Ayton, or you kind of don't have a guy who can play that role, they can't quite make it onto the floor, you know. So I think Giannis is watching for different reasons. I think Embiid is watching for different reasons. But I still think at the end of the day, if you want me to really answer it, and this is a statement I go by, and I want you to remember this, Mark. I want you to remember this. I know I'm a little all over the place right now.
I'm going to write it down.
The wing is king. So normally the best wing player is the guy who ends up winning an NBA championship. Now, sometimes it just your overall team, like the Detroit Pistons, could be that good. But sure. Normally the best wing player ends up winning a championship. We have an odd year where, you know, Kevin Durant's out of it, LeBron is out of it. So, you know, Devin Booker is out of it, and it seemed like it was going to be one of those years. But the wing is king, so you got a guy like a Jimmy Butler who can step up, or Jason Tatum who can play that position. But the guy who can go and create his own shot off the bounce ends up winning the game at a really high level. So if all the stages are even, that guy ends up winning. We saw LeBron for a very long time. It's just being able to create your own shot and being big enough that where Chris Paul just doesn't have the size. He can do everything. He doesn't have the size to create a shot against that elite defensive competition at a playoff level. You're going to end up either being the victor or being knocked out when, like I said, when things end up being even.
I like that. The wing is king.
The wing is king.
I get it. And by the way, I don't even have to write that down. That's super memorable, man. That's T-shirts and hats right there. The wing is king. Okay? I'm fine with that. I want to make sure I'm clear, though. You know, a Jokic and Embiid, a Giannis, I'm certainly not saying that that's not who you want to build your team around. Of course you do. You get your hands on a guy like that. That's really, really good stuff. And all three of them, you know, in Jokic's case, he lost the second and third best player on his team. He's still able to take them into the playoffs, and not that they were able to do much when they got there, but I think we all get it. Embiid and Giannis both went late into the playoffs, not late enough, but I just wonder when you watch the way NBA teams operate now, and everybody is so good. Like, there's so many offensive options now. You can be 7 feet, you can be 6 feet, you can be anywhere in between. Everybody can nail a three. And so, you know, we're talking about the Mavericks, for example. It's fascinating to me that the Mavericks are still alive and teams like Philadelphia are not. Philadelphia is more talented than Dallas, man to man, right? You got Embiid, and you got Harden, and you got Harris, and you got Maxey, and I could just keep going. Like, they have got absolute guys there, but the ball is not going to move in the same sort of way, and there is not that analytic that we were talking about, which was we're just going to spread you out and have so many people that can get us the same number of points on said possession, and we're going to see what you can do about it, and we're probably going to lose some games because on certain nights the three's not falling, but on certain nights when it is, I mean, good luck. Good luck, whoever you are, scoring enough points to beat a team like that.
Yeah, and that's why I like Dallas. They really have enough, but they just went dry in that second half and couldn't manufacture enough offense. You know, but Luka has to be four quarters of Luka. But you saw it in the first half. Once he gets rolling, it's dangerous because he kind of moves around at his own pace, and you know you could kind of go for the ride with him. I mean, he can shoot over you just from anywhere. I still think he's head and shoulders, he's the best player in this series, but they got to get on the same page. So when I say I'll clarify my statement, those role players got to hit threes, you know, and it's weird. I don't even see Brunson and Dinwiddie necessarily as role players, but all those guys on the floor got to hit threes. It's instrumental because Luka's drawing too. Luka had some amazing passes and guys were having wide open set feet shot threes and not making them.
Well, I feel like you and I are actually sort of dipping our toe into the same conversation that Ernie and Charles had on TNT right after the game last night. I'm not sure if you caught it, but I'll sort of set the table for you on that, and we can go a little further into it because whether or not Dallas was actually good last night, whether they should have felt like they should have won the game, it was kind of an interesting debate. Both of them were getting a little frustrated with each other. It was fun. We can get into that in a couple of minutes, but the first thing we're going to do right now is get my man Brian Finley in here, find out what's trending around the world on this Fox Sports Saturday.
Mark and Ryan, good to talk to you guys on this Saturday. We are keeping our attention on Southern Hills Country Club, round three of the PGA Championship. Rory McIlroy has just teed off, and he worked this drastic draw that sent his tee shot on one to the thick stuff in the rough. And right now, Will Zalatoris is leading this thing at 9-under. He has not teed off yet. He will at 2:50 in the afternoon Eastern time with Mito Pereira. And we've all been on Tiger Woods' tracker as well. He has done his third round and had a very uncharacteristic-like performance. He was 9-over on the day, shot a 79, this to his 69 on Friday. There were 7 bogeys, a triple bogey as well, which was on the par 3 6, so he had a 6 there. He did make things up one shot with the birdie on 15, and then was able to par the rest of the way, but at 12 over overall, he is 21 shots back with one round to play. The low score so far and the morning wave of players that are already out there and are in through 54 holes, Webb Simpson shooting up the leaderboard, a 65 on Saturday, 5 over on the day. That takes him to 1 over or one under, I should say, overall. And the dreary conditions here playing into some higher scores. So that actually might be something in contention at the end of the day. Meanwhile, we do have some Major League Baseball happening this afternoon. The New York Yankees are taking it to the White Sox. 6-3 in the bottom of the fourth. DJ LeMahieu socking a grand slam. The Yankees, by the way, 28-10 on the season. And one other game that was supposed to already be up and running was the Cubs Diamondbacks affair, but there has been some weather in the area, so that one is delayed. No word yet on when they will get that started. By the way, as we mentioned, Tiger Woods is 79, 29 shots back. With that, let's get it back to Mark Willard and Ryan Hollins, Fox Sports Radio on a Saturday.
Yes, indeed. Brian, good stuff. Good to hear your voice. Thanks so much. We'll get to Tiger in about 10 minutes because I got a question for anybody who's ever competed at any level with regard to Tiger Woods, who does card the 79 today. And that is the number because, let's see, a 79, there were 79 players who made the cut. Tiger is now currently ahead of one of them. One. That's it. So it's a very different Tiger Woods, but I think we view it differently. We'll get to that in a second. But here's the thing, Ryan, about this game last night between the Dubs and the Mavs. So it finishes, and you get out to the TNT booth, and there's Ernie and Chuck, and Ernie sort of sets up the conversation by saying something that I think was intuitive and maybe even borderline obvious, which is, wow, if the Mavericks aren't going to be able to win that game, well, then when are they ever going to be able to win at Chase Center, which they're going to have to do at some point? And he says, on the plane flight home, they are sitting there knowing they let one get away that they should have won. And immediately Chuck goes, well, no, they don't feel that way at all. They were only up by 2 points going into the fourth quarter. How can you say that they feel like they should have won? And Ernie's like, they were up by 19 in the first half. And Chuck is like, well, sure, but that's the first half. You don't win games at halftime. They were only up by two. And all of a sudden we fall into this sort of semantics argument about whether or not this is a game that the Mavericks actually had control over or not. The reason I bring it up is I've heard you now a few times say, boy, you got to be able to shoot better for the whole game in order to beat the Warriors. Well, Ryan, how realistic is that? This team, again, I gave you the numbers on these role players. Doncic had 5 threes. Brunson had 5 threes. Bullock had 6 threes. Dorian Finney-Smith had 3 threes. They still shot almost 50% for the game from three-point range, and that's with having this awful second half. How realistic is it to think that what they did in the first half is going to happen for another half? You don't shoot like that for an entire game. And if they've got to shoot like that for a whole game to win, Ryan, they're not going to win. Nobody shoots like that.
If you're asking me how to win in the playoffs, that's how you win. But you can't be good. You got to be great. And you got to be consistent. So maybe you're not hitting at it at the rate they were doing it in the first half. But in the second half, you can't just fall completely off. That's how tough it is to win in the playoffs. Like, that seventh guy off the bench, when he's open, he got to make his shots. Like, you have to have everything rolling in your way, and it becomes a game of inches and a game of details, Mark. So, no, I've been in situations, we've gone back and been in a tight game and just said, as a whole collective unit, we have to make those plays. It's the biggest difference between the team that won, they made those plays. The other team didn't. And you got to play well. You don't have the excuse of, oh, man, well, we defended well. We were up 19. Like, you have to make those shots. So I agree. They let an opportunity slip. I don't think the series is over. We'll see what type of energy they come back with. Are they mad? Are they saying to themselves, we are the better team? Or are they going to, you know, kind of soak in what happened? And this has been, Mark, this has actually been characteristic of Dallas. They've been up and they've been down. But I think the way they came out to put a weapon on Golden State, it was like, okay, game one was a fill-out game. You guys got that. Game two, yeah, you see what we're about. And then Golden State Warriors take it to another gear. And that's kind of, it's a part of their experience where they're not going to get too mentally down. That was just mental toughness to understand we got to win this game because Golden State, Mark, you saw it. They could have packed it in, dude. And I'm telling you, they were about a couple threes away from packing it in.
Well, I'll say this. The numbers are obviously wildly in the favor of Golden State now. And I want you to tell me, because I know you still think Dallas has got a decent shot in this series, I want you to tell me which numbers I can put some stock into or which ones I can just flick off my shoulder, okay? Here's the history. 93% of teams that win the first two games. This is NBA history. You win the first two, home or road. 93% win the series. Why should I dismiss that number?
Man, that's a huge number, but we've also seen teams have 3-1 leads and blow those, you know. And we live in the era of three-point shooting, Mark. Three-point shooting, what does it bring? A lot of randomness, a lot of questions, and a lot of runs, a lot of blowouts. A lot of blowouts and a lot of blown leads like we saw yesterday. That's the three ball brings in a lot of question marks. You know, you're not sure what may happen and may not. So I think that's where we can't dive into the past and say, well, this always happens. Not necessarily. You know, Mark, you were willing to bet the house, the keys, the kids, everything on Dallas Suns in that game seven. So, you know, that's something about this era of basketball. And then, you know, Luka is that guy that you want him to have the consistency, but you see him when he's rolling, you're like, man, this guy's the best player in the league. Like, he gives you moments where he's absolutely brilliant. I mean, he just takes ball games over.
He's incredible. And he played at the height of his powers yesterday. And they lost by 9. And they even had role players going with them. That's what I'm talking about. Let me give you another number. Because now, even you, would agree that if Dallas doesn't win both games 3 and 4, they're in a really, really bad spot. Because now they got to win at Golden State twice. Golden State is undefeated at home so far in these home playoffs. So let me throw this number at you. The Golden State Warriors have won at least one road game in 25 consecutive series. They don't have to win a road game again in these playoffs, and they can have a parade. But they're also the best team in history at winning games on the other team's floor. So why am I supposed to believe that they're not going to get one of these next two?
Hey, man, well, you know Clay's going to have to save it for game 6. You know, he likes to wait until then. But, hey, man, they're going to come in and they're going to be gunning. And this is absolutely an experienced team. But hey, if you're Dallas, these next two games might not even be close, dude. They may put them away. And like I said, this Golden State team is not the Golden State of the past. I just fear their inconsistencies. I fear their age. How do those guys feel? It takes a lot out of you to be down 19 and then come back into a game, Mark. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of efforts.
Yep.
There's a lot of diving on the floor. There's a lot of, you know, sprinting in transition. They knew what was at cost, and they took care of business. And this is not the same young Golden State team. You know, Steph and Clay aren't like, you know, 23, 24, man. These dudes are getting up in age. It's a whole different thing. Draymond got some gray hairs up there, you know? Yep.
Well, and there's no 2 days off in between games anymore. It's game day, game day, game day. Like, their travel to Dallas today, got to play tomorrow night. It's going to be that way for the whole series, as we know, in the conference finals. So I'll give you a fair point on that. Now, let me ask you, the last one is about this. And this is my belief, just an observation. I wonder if you share it, having played in these games. To me, winning road games, and I know Dallas has broken this theory just last week, but that was one time. Road games in the playoffs appear to be harder to win late in the series as opposed to early. Seems like you can steal a game one on the road. The Warriors did it against Memphis, and then the home team won the rest of the games in that series. It feels like officials get a little bit more tight for the home team as it goes. The league, if you will, a little tighter for the home team. The fan energy becomes a bigger factor in the game as it goes late. Do you buy that it's harder to win a road game late than it is early in the playoffs? And if you buy it, doesn't that also work against Dallas?
Every situation is different. I can't say what would or wouldn't be. So, Mark, here's the golden rule in the playoffs. It's urgency. If you go up 2-0, now the other team has this urgency to match it 2-2. It's just the human psyche. The best thing about the playoffs is the psychological warfare going on behind the scenes. Let's say they split, right? 1-1. Golden State would be coming in saying, we got to win one of these games. Now, maybe we can lay an egg on the other one. We got to win one of these games. It's just something about having your back against the wall. And it's a matching game where it's just hard. It is so hard to go up 3-1. It is so hard to go up, 2-1 and put a game out of hand. It is just, it's the human psyche. So I think, Mark, to your point, it does get tighter later on because role players get tighter. That's the difference between a role player and a star and a superstar. Superstars show up in those really, really tight moments. But the reality is, you just match whatever the energy is on the other side. And like I said, the hardest thing, Kevin Garnett taught me, the hardest thing you're ever going to do is eliminate a team at the playoffs because they're going to give you everything. And sometimes the kiss of death is going down 0-2, like you said. The kiss of death is going down 3-1, and that's when teams come out fighting like crazy.
Well, hardest thing you're ever going to do is be a dad. Second hardest thing, maybe, eliminate a team from the playoffs. Am I right? Am I right? Come on. Yeah. All right. Man. With Ryan Hollins, Mark Willard, Tiger Woods is competing, but against who? We'll get to that coming up next on Fox Sports Radio.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When we're talking about the NBA so much, Ryan, there's all kinds of athletes and they're curating and I think they resonate and they become stars of a certain level. There's only a very few handful, and this is NBA and beyond, that are truly like global superstars, transcendent. Tiger Woods is clearly one of them. So he's not going to contend at the PGA Championship. He found a way somehow. I have no idea how, based on what we're hearing and what we're seeing. I have no idea how he made the cut.
I don't even know how he made the cut. You know, we're sitting here right now going, oh gosh, Tiger fell and he's 78th on the – I mean, he beat Dustin Johnson. He beat Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world. He beat Sergio Garcia. He beat I could go down the list. There's all these players, Patrick Cantlay, who are some of the top players in the world who didn't even make the cut. But he's not going to win this thing. And I'm not going to be the one who says he's never going to win again because we've been down that road 1,000 times. But I do wonder, Ryan, when you watch him out there, it's like he's competing against ghosts. And there's a piece of that I love, and there's a piece of that that turns my stomach, which is I love how badly he wants to go conquer another mountain. I love the competitor he is. The other side to me goes, dude, you're in pain and you have nothing to prove. Go sit down. What is he competing against right now?
That's all he knows, man. It's all he knows. Like, this is something that he loves. And when guys aren't ready to retire or step away from the game, and golf is one of those games, you know, I've not played at a high level. I don't understand it. But you're like, why do I have to stop? Why can't I keep going? And some guys, Tom Brady's coming back for another year. It seems like Tom's in better shape than Tiger right now.
Right, for sure.
They don't know what else to do, Mark.
I mean, I'm glad you brought up Tom's name, because how many times have we had that thought? It's like, my man, what are you doing? Like, football hurts. And now for Tiger, golf hurts. You both have solidified yourselves as the best ever, at least in your lane, right? Tom, best quarterback ever, most accomplished ever, however you want to say it. Yeah, Tiger didn't catch Jack Nicklaus's major record, but come on. Nobody has sort of like galvanized the fan base of a sport ever the way that Tiger Woods did. So he's not competing against himself. He's not competing against history. He's not competing against the other competitors. It's like they're competing against life, which again is intoxicating and depressing all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You want to see Tiger go out on top. You don't want to see him struggle. We didn't want to see it from Michael Jordan. We didn't want to see. We're so glad that Kobe went out with his, and Mark, you were at LA radio with me. So glad that Kobe went out scoring his 60, you know. But yep, it was getting ugly down the stretch. And so, Mark, what would your ideal way for Tiger to go out look like?
Okay, I'll answer that coming up next. And in the next hour, also some thoughts on the Lakers coaching search and how important is that elusive finals MVP for Steph Curry. That's next.
Fox.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Oh, it's the reason we love sports. There are always questions to answer. So Ryan puts it out to me. How do we want to see Tiger Woods finish his career? How important is a finals MVP trophy on the trophy case for one Steph Curry? And who is the correct choice for next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers? That and more, as we also don't want to forget Game 3 Eastern Conference Finals series moving over to Boston for a game later on that we will be following as well with Ryan Hollins, Mark Willard. So thankful you're with us. Good afternoon from the West, but thank you wherever you are and however you are bringing us in. We haven't really had a moment to talk too much about that other series. A little bit of a wobbly start for the Celtics in that series, finding out just hours before tip that Al Horford and Marcus Smart would not play. Looked like they had the game anyway there in the first half, and then things just went completely sideways in the third quarter. But they get everybody back for game two. They are dominant. Ryan, I just don't know if, even though it's 1-1, I'm having a hard time seeing the Eastern Conference sort of hold the intrigue that the Western Conference does here, because this one just feels like Boston's series to me.
Well, you also know that the Heat don't have the star power. Like they're solid. You like Jimmy Butler. He can be that dude on any given night, but the star power isn't there. You're looking at Dallas. You got Luka Doncic. Jason Kidd is a head coach. He's a story player. You got Steph and Klay. Draymond on the other side. There's so much more star. Anytime the Warriors are anywhere, those dudes are rock stars. I'm telling you, when they came to Houston this year, the seats were sold out. You know, you get all these random ticket requests, and it's like they're serious rock stars. Like, and they travel like that too, and you don't have that in the East. Boston hadn't really given you that staple win. You like them, but they haven't done it. And like I said, Jimmy Butler's he's not that name. He doesn't have the star power there that you are seeing in the West. And I think there's an element, Mark, and let me know if you'd agree with this or not. Like, I don't think Steph and Klay have to build. Steph Curry has to build to his legacy, but it would be big that, oh, later in life championship I got that. Like, you know, the Kobe without Shaq, with Gasol and Bynum and those boys, that meant something different for Kobe. There's something on the line, more so a bigger storyline with Steph Curry potentially winning a championship or Luka being crowned king of the NBA.
Right. Right. I mean, I think those are there's concurrent questions going on, which is, you know, Jimmy Butler's been around for way more than a minute, and he's always been, and I don't mean this as a disrespect, but I think you get what I'm saying. He's always been a B-level star. Yes, a star, but he's never been an A-list name in NBA circles. Yes, a guy who can be that guy on a good team, but he's never had that label like LeBron, like Kevin Durant, like even a Steph Curry. And so there's sort of his own journey of, can he get to the Lifetime Achievement Award right here in 2022? Tatum and Luka feel the same to me, which is that they are probably, on one hand, they are probably two of the five guys that, as you look forward to the next 10 years of basketball in the NBA, those are the guys. Those are two of the five players where you're like, future's in good hands here in a couple of good years. And then there's the Warriors, who you just described. They're over here, you know, buckets of rings, three players who we've known. Important in that discussion that you just brought up, that they did win a ring before Kevin. So it's not like the Kobe Shaq thing. Can you win one without Kevin? They won one without Kevin before he was even there. And then there was the Kevin stuff.
Do you really count that championship, though? Do you feel?
Of course.
Do you feel like, do you feel great about that? Like, it was LeBron and Mozgov.
Don't do that.
Mark, we got to, man.
Okay, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to, oh my gosh, I'm going to walk right over here to this tree that is filled with asterisk championships. I'm taking Kawhi's Raptors champ, gone. Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson were hurt. Sorry, fine. Toronto, you have been devalued. I mean, and we could do this. There are a number of those. History is not going to remember who got hurt. They can't. It's just not right. Every single team has a journey, and every single athlete ever who wins gets breaks. Period. You have to have them. So that's the way it goes. Yes, they count.
Mark, I don't know. Listen,
come on, Ryan.
I think
you're not going to put fake championship label on anybody, are you?
Absolutely. They are not created equal. Me and you, we're not equal. You're a better man than me, Mark, and I have no problem saying that. I have no problem. I got no problem.
I told you, I'm all the way down here in the dirt at 6'2", looking up at you. I don't know about that description at all.
Let me give you this. I think you'll agree here. If Golden State wins a championship this year, it will be their greatest yet. By far. It'll be their greatest yet. I get it. I've never won an NBA championship, but I understand there's nothing like the first. There's no doubt there. They win this championship, it'll be their greatest yet. And it's not that Steph Curry, by any means, forgive me at home, there's someone yelling at the radio right now, dude, by any means, needs it like the Kevin Durant got to prove that he can do it by himself. And that's his own mindset. I got all respect for what KD's done. Or LeBron getting one in L.A., what that meant for him. You know, you can criticize him all you want. He got a championship in L.A. But I'm telling you, this would be special. This would be their greatest yet. Not that they need it. It's icing on the cake. It would be their greatest yet.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I'm also not in that process going to dismiss their first. They all have their own story. They all count. All of that is true. And I know they had a bunch of injuries that fell their way. I mean, couldn't I actually, on the down low, sort of make that case a little bit this year too? I mean, John Morant got hurt in the Memphis series. The Phoenix Suns are a 64-win team, and they're suddenly not there waiting for them. The Warriors have had breaks this year too, no?
No, I wouldn't feel the same way. They're older. They're not as dominant. I would credit what they've been able to do, and clearly that boy Luka is a little bit different, you know. And on the other side, if you do want to credit, you know, you got to look over to Jason Tatum and say, man, you knocked out Kevin Durant, and then you knocked out off Giannis. You know, you're going to have to put some respect on his name. If he fools around and it looks like if they can take care of business at home, they can go to the championship. You know, this would be a year run for him that I think a lot of people are glossing over.
Yep. No, I hear you on that. To me, though, this one is extra special for two specific reasons. One of it is because those guys are in their mid-30s, and they were told so many times, that's cute that you think that this dynasty's not over when you all get healthy again, but it is. It's over. You guys can be good again, but you can't be great again. Believe me, they were told that over and over and over again, and they are now in their mid-30s. Steph's 35 next year. Klay Thompson has had two massive, massive leg injuries. And Draymond is right by their side, getting older, and there's no Kevin Durant, and the person that's playing the Durant role, or at least trying to score those points off of the bench, is a young player who was also drafted. So to me, this is A, climbing the mountain again as new people who have some rings on the tree, but also for the fans, Ryan, this is just a much cleaner, more homegrown version of their Warrior team. Any Warrior fan will admit to you.
You don't think the first year was homegrown?
It was very homegrown and it was clean, but that was, as you said, these are brand new babies who are all in the, you know, they're all 24 years old.
Like this is like the Spider-Man movies where you got the past, future, present, everyone like
coming
together.
I mean, this is, there's an old line, Chris Cornell, Soundgarden, may he rest in peace. There's an old line from a Soundgarden song that said, I found the perfect steel, a cleaner love with a dirty feel. And that's exactly what this is, man. That's what this is. When Kevin Durant won, you loved it as a Warrior fan, but you knew it was a little dirty. Like, it just was like, I feel like I'm cheating on somebody right now. This is too easy. They've got all the good players. This is a cleaner love with a dirty feel, man. There's nothing to see here, national pundits. There's nothing to yell about here. There's you can't, oh, this free agent, that, this, blah, but there's nothing to see here. Just clean, homegrown basketball that so many told them they didn't have left.
Who said that? Who said they didn't have it left? What are you talking? People were picking Golden State to win the championship early in this year.
No, early in this year after they got off to that start, Ryan, the conversation even locally before this season started was, could they be a top four seed? That was a conversation locally amongst Warrior fans. Klay Thompson still had not played basketball in 2 years. Draymond and Steph, years older. Jordan Poole, a nobody.
At
the beginning of the year, he was coming out of the G League, Ryan. No one saw this coming. Please, there was hope, but you had to be an eternal optimist to think that the Warriors could be home court advantage throughout the rest of the way in a 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals. Nobody thought that.
Yeah, you can see how this team was getting stacked. You forget Wiggins, man. How do you not even – is Wiggins the highest paid on – you don't even mention Wiggins,
dude. No, he's not. Listen, I did an entire show, in fact, two shows the last 2 days here, saying, listen, if Andrew ever has a bad game – obviously, we're allowed to come on the air and say whatever we see. That's just analyst work. But the idea that Andrew Wiggins, quote, doesn't care, put it to bed. I don't ever want to hear it again. Put it in a casket. Let's play music. Let's cry. It's a funeral. Get your black suit. It is over, because it's what people have said about him for 7 years. He doesn't care. He coasts. He's just got that look on his face like, huh? Are we here? He has been unbelievable on both ends of the floor. He's made the hustle plays. He's evolved as a basketball player, now not being asked to be a one or a two on the squad. So, listen, I get the names that they have, Ryan, but come on. All of these, you didn't think what you thought about Wiggins.
No.
Beginning of the year.
What I'm calling you out for is we've been on the air for like 4 straight hours, and you haven't mentioned this man once.
That's true. It's only been an hour and 13 minutes. But yeah. because from an emotional standpoint, and who we, you know, NBA circles are so much about that guy, right? Like that guy. Andrew Wiggins is not that. It's the classic Reggie Bush thing. You were drafted number one overall, so we're going to tell you that you had a bad career. He's had a great career. He's just not the guy that you all wanted him to be. Well, based on the first half of the year, he was really, really good, and then he wasn't.
I have no problem with Andrew Wiggins. I'm saying I think he's a great, you know, third or fourth option, and he doesn't mind being that, playing defense and doing his job. I think there's a real value there. I'm giving you a little – I'm jiving with you a little bit,
Come on, man. Bring it.
There's a guy who started in the All-Star game, and, you know, you mentioned Poole and Draymond and Damian Lee.
Everybody, man. Listen, I hear what you're saying, but that's going by names. If you go by names and if you sit here in May 2022, now it all makes sense and you go, how the hell did we not think that this was a contending team? But if I take you back to October, Ryan, come on. Klay Thompson had not played in 2 years. Andrew Wiggins was somebody who got ripped way more often than he got praised. Jordan Poole was coming out of the G League. None of this existed back then. None of this existed. And so if that ends up at a championship, because you know the NBA is the league where you can usually sit there on day one and go, well, those are the four teams. That's who's going for a title. And this was not one of those teams at the beginning of the year. We were talking about Brooklyn and L.A. for crying out loud.
It was Brooklyn, L.A., Milwaukee, and Suns. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm, by the way, agreeing with you.
Okay.
I agree. If they win this one is even more special than the rest. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm with it. And, you know, I have a deep respect for the way that this thing has been built. The fact that they do have Stephen Clay and Draymond, and you have that original kind of Warriors feel nucleus there, and then you got the young pups who've developed and kind of, you know, come along and figure things out, and they're a part of winning. And then if somehow they get a championship, I mean, think about the confidence that Jordan Poole would have. You know, this is handing off the torch, and that's something that you really don't see – in the NBA. You really don't see loyalty. You don't see a lot of those factors. So I do agree with you, Mark. This would be big. It would be huge to move forward with. Definitely legacy builder. Not that they need anymore, but a legacy builder. And I think, like you said, to your original point, that's why there's such a bigger storyline and interest in the Western Conference side of the NBA Finals.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the recognizability on the Eastern Conference side is not there other than the Boston Celtics logo at this point. I think Tatum has got a hell of a future, but for a lot of people, they're just starting to get to know the things that he can do.
Hey, Mark.
All right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I keep doing these. Jason Tatum, top five player in the league?
He will be. I'm not sure if he is yet.
Oh.
He will be. He is when he's on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the consistency. I mean, I don't know. Well, why don't you answer that? Also, we'll get into that. I'll answer your Tiger question. The Lakers coaching search on the table as well with Ryan Hollins, Mark Willard on Fox Sports Saturday.
Come get some.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The dirty feel. There it is. There's the Golden State Warriors 2022. Ryan Hollins on Fox Sports Saturday. They caught themselves a cleaner love with a dirty feel.
Hey, man, that's your squad, man. Are you a Warriors fan, Mark?
Come on, I grew up here. Of course. I went to game one and I did not bring my press credential, okay?
That doesn't mean you're a fan, okay?
Oh, stop.
You have a choice.
My man, I was going to games in Golden State, and I hate doing this because I don't like feeling old. I've been to Oakland Arena to watch World Be Free play, okay? I don't even know how many people listening to us remember that.
first game I went to, the Golden State Warriors were they were starring World Be Free. So it's been a long time. And yeah, I'm absolutely a fan. Of course I experienced that through that lens.
All right, I just had to make sure, man. I didn't know. You know, you don't assume stuff like that. You know,
no,
everyone in L.A. is not a Laker fan, Mark. You know, so you don't assume.
Yeah, pretty close. I'm pretty close. I mean, I know you had the. I know you wore the Clipper jersey, but it's pretty close. I'm thinking 5 for 5 though. Right now is what I'm thinking because you threw out a question a couple of minutes ago. Is Jason Tatum a top 5 NBA player? And I know everybody's got their own list, and nobody's ever going to get to the end of this. But so after you asked it, I started jotting some things down. And here's why I go 5 for 5, because I got 5 players who I want to put in the number 5 slot. And so I need your help with this. And I know I'm going to make a lot of people mad, especially in Los Angeles. But you're asking me this question right now in 2022. So there is a LeBron problem with this question. Because that man is LeBron damn James. However, they couldn't even make the stupid play-in tournament. So where am I supposed to put that guy right now when you ask me about the most effective basketball players in 2022? There's context. I get what he's been through. Same as Kevin Durant, who I would put on the list, even though they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs. Like, to me, if you're going to ask me top five, Luka's got to be on there. Giannis has got to be on there. Steph has got to be on there. KD is on there. And then I get to a problem. Now, do I go to LeBron for the Lifetime Achievement Award? Do I go to Jason Tatum? Do I go to who I think is going to be the hardest offensive force driving to the rim in the next 5 years in Ja Morant? Or do I go to the other MVP candidates in Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic? What do I do?
Oh, you want to start leaving MVPs off the list and all that? Oh,
yep, I sure do. I sure do.
Stay Tatum. He just dropped 47 in a playoff game, man. He dropped a big 47.
So did Ja. So did Ja. Ja did that just 2 weeks ago.
And Ja's legs fell off in the process, man.
That's
he
true.
Couldn't make it back to the next game, dude. That's why I said Golden State knew. Golden State was like, man, if you got to work this hard to beat us, we got you. You had to do too much, and then, you know, he couldn't bounce back. When you think of a bad man, so here's – Mark, this is going to sound really bad, what I'm about to say right now.
I'm listening.
There was a different NBA where you could hand the ball to Michael Jordan and say, you know, go score your 30 points and win, and Michael, give me 30 all series long. And there's a new NBA that says, we're scoring in the 140s, Mike, so you got to score like 50. You got to drop like a 50 ball. That's tough to do back to back to back. It's tough to win 4 games like that. Where back in the day, these scores were in the 80s, they were in the 90s. You know, maybe you push 100. Real playoff basketball, what, around 90s, high 80s, right? That tempo is much harder to play at. Where Ja Morant, I'm not comparing Ja Morant to Michael Jordan, please. Hold the phone, all right? Calm down. But I'm saying that it's a lot harder now to drop 40. Look at James Harden, man. He is a little older. Time catches up with you. But it is hard to score at that rate and be consistent. And it's different than Mike just had to give you that 30, 35, you know, leave it on the line. You know, hey, now you got teams just scoring at a completely different rate. So, yes, the Warriors played their hand and said, well, drop 47 and we'll see if you can do it again. And he physically couldn't even get back on the floor. No disrespect to Ja Morant. It's tough to do.
I get it. I mean, the box score last night will tell you exactly what you're talking about to prove your point. I mean, in a playoff game, if everyone says, okay, Luka Doncic is the best player in this series, okay, what did he do? He went out and shot over 50% and dropped 42. Okay, so there's that. There's your Michael Jordan role. Luka had a secondary player in his starting lineup also go north of 30. Then they had a third player in their lineup go north of 20, all on the road, and almost lost by double digits.
Mm.
That's the different NBA you're talking about.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. No, it is.
There are so many people. There's so many people who can go, you know, put up a number on you. I mean, let me count them up. 15 points or more in last night's game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 players in that game last night had 15 or more points.
And that's where it's tough for a star today. And we do have to appreciate Giannis going 40 and 20, you know, in 2 games. He did a lot of everything he could do. It couldn't turn into a win, but, you know, you're right. You got to be a different type of beast to take over in today's NBA and to consistently do it. And that may be why it's just so hard for us to even crown. Like, you can't even make a top 5 list, Mark. And they used to spit this thing out like the back of your hand. This wouldn't be an issue.
Seriously.
But it is so hard right now to crown the best player in the NBA. And like right now, it's like, who is it? Like, who is the best player? It is hard to crown. And it almost is like changes nightly.
Well, that's the Twitter age. You're absolutely right. Like, I mean, we're all sitting here saying Luka's the best player in the series, and he's down 0-2.
And then the people who
have that quote-unquote championship DNA couldn't even get to the Final Four outside of the Warriors. KD, gone. LeBron, gone. Giannis, gone. They're all gone. Like, this is all, either the Warriors win or somebody new gets crowned. So, pretty interesting year as far as parity across the NBA. I agree with you there. More on that. The Lakers coaching search. How do we want to see Tiger finish the career? Ahead in just moments. But first, let's find out what's trending with Brian Finley standing by on Fox Sports Saturday.
Mark and Ryan, speaking of parity, a little bit here atop the leaderboard as we've got Mino Pereira, now the sole possessor of the lead through the third round tier, ongoing at the PGA Championship in Southern Hills Country Club. Pereira was able to make a birdie putt on 2, 36 feet. He kept the flag stick and used it as sort of a backboard. The ball went in, so he made a birdie. Will Zalatoris, the 36-hole leader, bogeyed on 1, then had this nice par save with a putt on the second. He is one shot behind Justin Thomas, a bogey on 1. He is through 3, 4 shots back at 5 under. Rory McIlroy and Bubba Watson are at 4 under, and Thomas now on the 4th has a look at a birdie putt. Tiger Woods is well off the pace, 21 shots behind after his 79 today, as Thomas, by the way, just was able to convert a birdie putt. A little sweeper from right to left from 15 feet puts him to 6 under, now in third by 3 shots. And back to Woods, 7 bogeys, a triple bogey on the par 3 6. He did have the birdie on 15 and then parred the rest of the way, but the wind has been just so hard to bear for these players, and temperatures under 60 degrees in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the scores this afternoon have been higher. Meanwhile, just a couple afternoon games in Major League Baseball, DJ LeMahieu had the grand slam for the Yankees, but their lead withering away at 6-5. New York is in front against the White Sox in the top of the 6th. The Diamondbacks and Cubs still delayed with weather issues. And the Reds and Blue Jays are scoreless in the bottom of the 2nd, while the Mets strike first, up 2-0 against the Rockies through 1 inning. With that, let's get it back to 2 sluggers of their own right. It's Mark Willard and Ryan Hollins.
Continuing on Fox Sports Saturday, thank you, Brian. I'm responding to a tweet that we just got, Ryan. I'll let you respond to it, too, because I got to type this out because this one got under my skin a little bit. Billy is back 2021, writes to me, comical. He's referring to the top 5 list. You put KD there and rag on LeBron because he missed the playoffs, but forget to mention that AD was hurt and out, and LeBron was hurt. KD and Kyrie were healthy last time I checked, dude, healthy and bounced in the first round. Okay, first of all, obviously Kyrie missed half the games this year. Second of all, Kevin Durant also had a major injury this year, just like Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Second, going to the playoffs getting into the final eight and losing to the team I think is the best team in the East is very different than missing the play-in wackadoodle dance entirely and finishing behind the San Antonio Spurs and the New Orleans Pelicans. You cannot tell me, even in missing a handful of games between LeBron and AD, that there's an excuse to miss the play-in tournament that has been created to extend the playoffs into the losing records of the league. You cannot tell me that there's an excuse for that. Ryan, am I wrong? Am I out of line? Check me.
No, the Lakers had a lot going on, and I think it was bigger than just the talent on their team. I think there was just there's things behind the scenes that were happening that were absolutely devastating. But, yes, it is hard to credit any of those guys. And you know how I love me some Westbrook. I love me some LeBron. I am a fan, but – it, with everything going on, yeah, it is. It's tough. You're right. It is a hard sell right there, Mark. You do have a good point there.
I will say this: there's something encouraging about the Lakers right now, because Ryan, the basis of my criticism through the last couple of years has been very, very simple. Whenever they want a coach, they chase history, and whenever they want a player, they chase names. This is exactly what their problem has been. Right? We got to go find somebody from the 1985 team picture when we want a new coach. And if you want a new player, well, he better have a Q rating. Does he have an MVP in his closet? Has everybody heard of him? Do people have posters on their wall? As opposed to finding the players that fit, right? The players that fit with whatever you're trying to do. So I know you love Russell Westbrook, but he was clearly a very, very poor fit. And this lineup, Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, my God, it's an Olympian team from 12 years ago. But that was 12 years ago. So now here they are with a coaching search, and I'm thrilled at the names that are the reported finalists for the Lakers' sake, because they're not doing that. They're finally breaking. They seem to be doing interviews and actually listening to what people have to say to them. And they're trying to find the right person as opposed to somebody who's got a tie to the team from the past. So what do you think? Bucks assistant Darvin Ham, who's maybe the leader in the clubhouse, Blazers coach, former Blazers coach Terry Stotts, and Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson. That's the kind of name, up and coming, diverse, looking beyond the inside the team tie, for somebody they feel can be the right actual basketball coach for this team. I find that to be encouraging if you're a Laker fan.
Yeah, I understand that. I got no problem with keeping it in the family, but I think you're trying to get the best candidate. Everyone loves what Kenny Atkinson has done. You look at Taylor Jenkins, who was under Bud over in Milwaukee, and the success he's having there. Mark, we've been raving about how good Memphis is and how good they're going to be. And Darvin Ham has been sitting in that same seat and the same principles, you know, the Lakers are going and looking at and say, man, can we have a piece of the secret sauce? It's working in Memphis, and, you know, maybe that same effect will be there. But what's also intriguing to me is you got to get on – unless you're going to make a move and blow it up, you got to make sure these names are on the same page with – LeBron James and AD and Westbrook, or you're moving in a different direction. And I think those questions are going to have to be answered. And it's not that LeBron wouldn't want to play for one of those coaches, but it's just you got to be a certain type of guy to motivate. And we'll see how that plays out. And I'm not putting a strike against anybody, but hey, at a certain point, unfortunately, Frank Vogel's a heck of a coach. He got tuned out. Who's going to come in and not be tuned out? There's a lot of coaches who know their X's and O's, Mark, that can draw it up and put you in the correct situations, but respect is a whole different animal. And unfortunately, Frank Vogel got to the point he wasn't respected. So I am intrigued to see where this search goes, and I think it's going to say a lot about the Lakers front office and the direction that they want to go in. And it's no disrespect to LeBron or Anthony Davis or Westbrook. I'm intrigued to see where they go there. Who's the priority?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's totally a fair point, and you can get the right coach, and it may not matter if you don't have the right sort of, you know, concoction, the right ingredients on the court. And so if they are ready to move away from Russell Westbrook, I mean, LeBron and AD, that's the centerpiece of the whole kitchen table. But what do you do around that? I do think they have some interesting younger players who could play a bigger role. But I also wonder if you're going to move off a Westbrook, if you're going to try to find those third and fourth options on the floor, what moves are you going to make? What's out there? What's out there for you? And if you're wanting to turn current players on your roster into something else, I mean, who therefore is going to benefit from who you want to give them? Russell Westbrook has hit such a weird spot. And again, I know you're a fan of him, but he's hit such a weird spot in the social media age where he became the butt of a joke so often this year. What team is going to acquire Russell Westbrook and pitch that to their fan base?
They say Indiana's a front runner.
Okay, that's what they want to do?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I just, listen, don't shoot the messenger, man. I'm just throwing it out.
I mean, look, he's Russell Westbrook. It's not like there's not a role for him, but it's reached this weird thing where, I mean, and if you're a fan of a team that's acquiring Russ, aren't you rolling your eyes? You're like, wait a minute. I mean, that was just a big social media rip fest for 9 months.
Yeah, I think just Russ was not as bad as people said he was, and at the same time, his mistakes were really, really loud, and that's what people saw. That's what, you know, hit the headlines. And it's like, yeah, Russell's misses, you know, would go over the backboard. they were pretty bad. But as far as getting a chance to call for the games, for the Lakers and seeing those matchups, yeah, he wasn't bad. It wasn't as bad as it was projected to be. What was bad was the Lakers' defense. They didn't defend. They didn't scramble. They were extremely unorganized, and it was a lot of just one-on-one. But Westbrook in himself, I don't think the shoe fit the way that people just had attacked him and scrutinized him. And at the end of the day in L.A., it's all about results, Mark. You know this. We both worked here in L.A. Radio at the other network, and you know, you knew if you didn't win, there weren't excuses. There weren't the grace. There wasn't the like, nah, we really, really like you, but you don't have to win. It's like, nah, you win or you go home. And even these fans got tired of Kobe Bryant, man. They didn't like seeing to an extent what was going on towards the end of his career, Mark. You know it.
With Ryan Hollins, Mark Willard, not done yet. How is Tiger going to finish up his career, and how badly, if at all, does Steph need that finals MVP for the trophy case? More coming up on Fox Sports Saturday. Fox Sports
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
it. I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Saturday, Ryan, my man, you know I love doing this with you. Lots of fun today. Lots of fun.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yes. As we get down to the Final Four in the NBA. Also, though, We talked a little bit about it last hour. Tiger Woods limping around. Shot a 79 today, and of the 79 players still in the PGA Championship, he is now ahead of a sum total of one of them. You asked me last hour, how would I like to see his career end? And, you know, this isn't a movie. This is real. So in the movies, he would put it all together and tape it up for one more ride, and he would win the a major, and he would wave to the crowd, and streamers would fly out of the sky, and there would be documentaries, and it would just be the most amazing thing ever. And again, I've totally put in the casket the idea of ever saying that Tiger Woods is not going to this or not going to that again, so you won't hear me say that that won't happen. But that's not what I'm looking for. You know, how do I want to see this thing end? It's more of a human angle for me, and I think for a lot of people now. I want to see this person. I want to see him find his wants. I want to see him find his peace. I don't know if he ever can. Everything that we know about this guy, his dad, his history, the relationship with his family, all of that, like, it has been one hell of a journey that I guess in some ways therefore becomes relatable to a lot of us, because who doesn't have family strife and challenges in life and wounded by their parents and all of that stuff. I want to see him not be in pain out there. I love watching athletes who play with joy. It's one of the reasons, other than just geography, why I love this Warriors team so much. They smile a lot. I like Ja Morant. Smiles a lot. He dances. Tiger Woods right now swings and he grimaces. It's like, man, what are you trying to prove? You're in pain. Go home. You know?
Do you feel like Kobe Bryant was the closest thing that we'll ever have to a storybook ending? Now, I know it was a regular season ball game, but he dropped 60, dude. Is that like, is that just like hit? Like, I would love for Michael to gone out like that. And who knows? I don't even want to imagine or fathom LeBron's last game, but is that the closest we're ever going to get? Is that the greatest outro ever? Mamba out. Drop the mic.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, we've watched people sort of walk off into the sunset after a championship. Players, we thought Tom Brady was going to do it for a while. Bill Walsh did it as a coach of the 49ers. It's pretty high up there. Now, put aside, obviously, the tragedy that took place in Kobe's life, but when I compare Kobe and MJ, what I loved about the way Kobe finished, man, that guy looked so comfortable in retirement, didn't he? I mean, he looked back, and it looked like somebody who, right from his girls to the coaching life, to doing things in entertainment, he had achieved what he wanted to achieve in his career. Michael goes to his Hall of Fame speech and just starts throwing haymakers at everybody. It's like, man, I want you to walk off into the sunset and feel good. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want.
Yeah, nah, listen, Kobe, I remember talking to Kobe, you know, while he was retired, and I'm just like, is it it? Are you done, man? He's like, I'm happy. I'm good. Like, yes. He was really thin. He was in shape. I could tell he was biking or doing something. He didn't have the basketball body anymore. I'm like, nah, this dude, he did it, man. I saw it with my own eyes.
He did it. That's what made the tragedy even harder, you know, because he looked like he really was enjoying everything, and he still had so much to give to the world and to basketball and to his girls and all of that. So, Ryan, how about another one next week, okay?
I'm in, bro.
Okay. I'm in. All right. I love it. For Ryan Hollins, Mark Willard, Boston, and Miami, do it again coming up later on this evening. We'll be all over it all day long and throughout the weekend on Fox Sports Radio.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha. You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.